his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you.
But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life, and I got mountains to climb.
Greetings. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we're just so blessed and elated this morning to be alive. It's a blessing all by itself to have the blood still running warm in our veins and to have the use and activity of our limbs. But even if we don't have the use and the activity of our limbs and we can't see out of these old eyes getting dim, the blood is still pumping in our hearts. So we still have an opportunity. We still have a chance to say, thank you, Lord. We still have a chance to say, I love you. We still have a chance to say, please forgive me, I was wrong. We still have a chance to say, Lord, save me. I've tried everything I know to do. Lord, heal me. We still have an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. We still have an opportunity to finish the assignment, the plan, the purpose that God has on our life. There's still time. If you're still alive, if you're still breathing this morning, You have enough right there to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm still alive. Thank you for another chance to get it right. And we just bless God this morning for another chance. And let us go before the throne of grace. Most gracious and eternal Father, Father, we just bless you and magnify you this morning. We glorify you. We lift you up because you're worthy of all our praises, all the glory, all the honor. Lord, because you're God and you're God all by yourself. You sit high and you look low. Where we are is your footstool, God. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. That you could have been took us out long time ago. But you have mercy on us, God. You showed us your grace. And we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity. Thank you for another chance to serve. Father, to tell someone about Jesus. And the finished work on the cross. Lord, we just thank you this morning. Father, we lift up those to you this morning who are bereaved, Father. Those who have lost loved ones, friends, family. Lord, we know that burden is heavy. But Lord, when they die in you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Father, we ask that you just give them peace this morning and comfort. Father God, just let them know that you don't make no mistakes. You don't make no mistakes. You know the big picture. And give them that peace, Lord God. Give them comfort, knowing that if their loved ones, their friends, or whoever died in Christ, that they are with you right now. And this shell is what they're dealing with now. This is just an earthen vessel. We don't need this anymore. It can't inherit the kingdom of God. So we just thank you this morning for touching them right now this morning, Lord. Those that are on their bed of affliction this morning, Father God, who've been suffering, Father God, pour out your healing virtue this morning. Jesus already took the stripes on his back for all of our healing from every disease, every sickness, every sin. Lord God, just pour it out right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, send your Holy Spirit right now into the creeps and crevices, Lord God, and draw them that don't know you. Lord, save their souls on this morning. Let them turn to you, say, I yield, I can't hold out any longer. Lord, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, somebody's in need of legal counsel, Lord God. But we know that Jesus is a lawyer that's never lost a case. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Lord God, we ask that you just fight that battle for them this morning. Lord God, you know what they stand in need of. Before they ever ask, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray, Lord. We thank you that you will forgive us for our sins, though they be many. Look past them, Lord God. See the blood that Jesus shed already. And grant our greatest need. Our greatest need is to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with you, Lord Jesus. and your Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, teaching us, comforting us, leading us, guiding us, strengthening us. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now for Jesus. We thank Jesus for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, a comforter, another one just like Jesus. Jesus on the inside of us when we believe, when we receive, when we walk by faith. Lord, we just thank you right now for the comforter. We bless your name, God, for all the men and women who come into this place, Lord God, the owners of this radio station, the men and women who make it happen, the technicians, Lord God, bless them, touch them, give them strength, Lord God. Continue to anoint them to do what you've called them to do, Lord God. Thank you for provision, for the vision, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, how you go above and beyond, Lord God. Oh, we just thank you right now that you give us more than we can thank or we can ask, Lord, because you know the big picture, Lord. We just thank you right now for the men and women who come preaching, teaching. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. Lord God, continue to strengthen them, anoint them, Lord God. Speak to them, Lord. Give them an ear to hear what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit is saying to the church, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now for all that you're doing in this season, Lord. We don't want to miss you, Lord, and end up in a place called hell. Lord, we just thank you right now for your long suffering with us, that you're being patient with us, letting the gospel go to all four corners of this world, of this earth, of this universe, Lord God, that everyone will know. No one can have an excuse saying they didn't hear the gospel. Lord, we just thank you for being long suffering with us, giving us time, Lord God, to repent and to turn to you and to live for you. We just thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And it's just so good to be alive on this morning, to be able to share the word of God. And we just thank God for his word. And this morning we're looking at chapter 10 of Romans. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses. And I don't know if I get through them all, but I'm going to read the first 7 verses, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. And it reads as thus, and I'm reading from King James Version, and it reads as thus, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead." Amen. Amen. And the groundwork for chapter 10 has already been laid in chapter 9, verse 30 through 33. The emphasis here is on the righteousness and why Israel lacks it. The Apostle Paul will lay the responsibility for the lack of righteousness squarely on the shoulders of the individual. He knows that when sinners are brought into the presence of divine sovereignty, their frequent response is to justify themselves by placing the responsibility for their sin on God. Now, where they do that at? Paul does not apologize in any way for what he has said about God's sovereignty in chapter 9. He does not retreat at all from his strong belief that God has always worked by the principle of election. It's a choice. If we choose our own righteousness and we try to hold up the law, then we in works. And you can't get it by works because we couldn't keep the law. That, and this is what he's telling Israel. His prayer, his heart is breaking for Israel. He wants them to be saved. They're still trying to live by the law. And we know that they are the ones responsible for Jesus being crucified, the scribes and the chief priests, because Jesus come with grace and mercy and love and walking by faith. And it shined the light on all that they were doing and their shortcomings. And they didn't like that because the attention was taken off of them and put on Christ, on Jesus Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. And the works that he did, the mighty works, the miracles, it put a light on the darkness. So therefore, they didn't like that. And he didn't hang out with them. He hung out with the sinners, the downtrodden, those who needed a savior, those who needed a miracle. That's who he come for, those that were lost. And the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and all them, they thought they was holier than thou. They was above. They'd already arrived. But anytime we think that we have arrived, we just fail. Because we will never arrive on this side of the chilly Jordan. Long as we're on this earth, we will be striving to be like Jesus. We will be striving to walk in the godly counsel of the one who laid down everything for us. And to walk out his statutes and his word. And to do what he's commanded us to do. And that's to follow this word, that to live right, to do right. And when you're saved and when you believe and you have faith in Jesus and the finished work on the cross, you can do this because the Holy Spirit will give you the strength. It will give you what you need to make it happen. There's no other way you can do it because you can't love the unlovable and pray for those who despitefully use you and curse you, and you speak blessings over them and pray for them and love on them. That's not natural. We can't do that naturally because our first inclination is to get revenge, to get back. But God said, no, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. No, he will repay. So you give it to God. And when you pray for him, you heap hot coals on the head. In other words, you put it in God's hand. God will judge. He will judge them according to their works. So you give it to God. And his heart is breaking for Israel. Israel is stiff-necked, just like a lot of us are. Stiff-necked. They still want to live by the law. They can't keep the law. They couldn't keep the law because if they broke one, they broke them all. So this is what he's saying. You know, it's not your righteousness. It's God's righteousness that's imputed, that's added to our account. When we receive Jesus, when we believe, all you have to do is believe. Believe and walk by faith. Believe and walk by faith. That's what you have to do. In the name of Jesus. That's all you have to do. And you have to love those that are unlovable. You have to reach out that hand of fellowship to those who have wronged you and tell them that you forgive them. And you bless them in the name of Jesus. And that you hold no ill will against them. You have to forgive them. Forgive them and let it go. Because if you don't forgive, God ain't gonna forgive. So we have to do this in the name of Jesus. And this is all Paul is telling them. For he say, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. You have an idea of God. You have a zeal, but you deny the power. You deny the power in the name of Jesus. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power. And the power is in the word and in following his commandments. And the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells on the inside of us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's a precious gift because we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. And so he's saying you know what? You have a choice to make. But my heart is breaking for you. My heart is breaking for you, brethren. My heart desire, I pray, that they might be saved. It's a terrible thing to see folk that's doing all the work. They going through all the religiosity. They going through the motion. They going to church, they going to Bible study, and they holding up the bloodstained banner, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Because you're in religion, you're not in relationship. You have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because you can't do it in your strength. And this is what Paul is reiterates it, his feeling for his kinsmen, the Jews. He has already expressed this in the first three verses. Even though he is the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul takes no satisfaction in Israel rejects. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting God because they're trying to do it in their own righteousness. And we already know our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our best ain't good enough. So ain't nothing we can do in our strength, in our righteousness. Paul takes no satisfaction because Israel is rejecting God. He bears witness to the fact that the Jews have a definite zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The problem with Israel is that her proper motives have caused her to have a zeal for keeping the law, but not for being the nation God would have her be. They have read the law and memorized the law, but have never internalized the truth of the law about God's righteousness. And consequently, they are going about to establish their own righteousness. And in so doing, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. To earn righteousness is to gain righteousness through God. We can't gain righteousness no other way than through the finished work of Jesus. Because when God looks at us, being born again believers, when he looks at us, he don't see us. He don't see the past sins and the present sins and the future sins. He don't see none of that because Jesus already paid for that. He see the blood of Jesus. He see the blood. And we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's trying to tell the Israelite. He's trying to tell the children of Israel, listen, y'all can't do it. You still trying to hold on to the law. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came and fulfilled the law. And we are now under the dispensation of grace through faith. That's how we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith. There's no other way. It's his unmerited favor that he's blessed us with, a precious gift from God. So we can't do nothing to earn it. No. To earn righteousness is to gain, is for us to gain it through Jesus Christ. We are made the righteousness of God through Jesus. Ain't no other way. No other way. For Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness to everyone that believeth. So everyone that believeth, you're not trying to keep the law. You're not in works. You're not in works because Christ has already paid the price for all of our sins, everything that we've done wrong. All we have to do is receive it and believe it. All it's a precious gift from God. We can't do nothing to earn it. We don't even deserve it. We don't even deserve it. No, we don't. We don't deserve it. In what respect? The word means, on one hand, that Christ is the goal or purpose for which the law was given. So, the law was written when Moses first got the commandments. It was written that it would draw them to God. That's what the law was for. And they would keep those commandments and be in right standing with God. So they had to follow his statutes. It was given to draw them closer to God, but they couldn't keep it. God already had a plan because he knew that Adam was going to mess up. He knew that Eve was going to mess up. God already had a plan. He had his son, his only begotten son that was slain before the foundation. So God already knew that we wasn't going to be able to keep the law. And he didn't come to do away with it. He come to fulfill it on our behalf. So now we're under grace, the dispensation of grace. So we just have to, there is one qualification to Christ being the end of the law for the righteous. He is the only end. To everyone that believeth, those who yet attempt to establish their own righteousness do not find Christ as the end of the law, and consequently do not discover true righteousness because they stuck in the law, trying to keep the law, and you can't keep the law. You can't keep the law. You can't keep it. So God established righteousness now is alluded to as recorded by Moses. Moses recorded it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is just reiterating because he quoted from Leviticus and he quoted from Deuteronomy. He's going back just giving them a reminder because they've rehearsed it, they've memorized it, but it hasn't got down in their heart and taken root and germinated and bared any kind of fruit. This is what he's saying. Yeah, you speak the words. Your mouth is, but your heart, huh? Your mouth is saying that you speak in my word, that you love me, that you're following my statutes and my commandments. That's what your mouth say. But your heart is far from me. It hasn't got down in the repositories of the heart and germinated and bear no fruit because you're going to know the tree by the fruit. And they ain't bear no fruit. They're not Christ-like. They don't have a relationship. They don't really believe. They just going through the motions. Religion. They just going through the motion. For the righteousness of the law, he quotes in Leviticus 18:5. So the man which doth those things shall live by them. So if you steady living by the law, you steady going by the law, trying to be in works, that's where you at. That's what you living by. So you don't have the righteousness of God. That's in Christ. It has to be in Christ. The finished work. Christ is the only way. Out of Christ, it ain't gonna work. In reference to Moses' teaching concerning the righteousness, which is of faith, the apostle quotes Deuteronomy 30:12-14. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? The righteousness which is of the law taught men to do and live. But the righteousness which is by faith teaches men to believe and live. So the law taught them to do. You can't do because you can't keep the law. But that's where they were. They were trying to do and live. But the righteousness of God is obtained through Jesus when you believe and live. The Pentateuch, the first five books, clearly shows that the law is to be written upon the hearts of men. It was not to be an external means of external justification. Unfortunately, the Jews mistakenly perverted the law and were attempting to keep the law outwardly without the right inward heart attitude. It was a heart condition. That's why Paul's heart was breaking, because their heart had never received, they had the wrong motive. And how many times we do things that seemingly are right. We think they're right, they're supposed to be godly things, but we have the wrong motive. Our heart posture is out of order. We haven't received the word and it penetrated our heart and broke up that foully hard ground and cultivated it so it can be pliable for the master's use. We haven't let the word penetrate. And you got to have a relationship. You got to have a relationship, not just religion. You know, you have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power, because the only way you're going to have the power is when the Holy Spirit is living in the inside of you and living through you. The Holy Spirit is guiding you and teaching you. It'll bring to your remembrance, but you are do right because you're in right relationship. You're in right relationship. You have a relationship. You are close to the Father. You're seeking his face and his heart, not his hand. Because he'll give you his hand. He'll give you all these things. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Everything you're trying to get in your own, on your own, God will give them to you. And the only thing you have to do is seek him first. And this is what he's telling them. You can spout off the scriptures from the scroll and you memorized it, but you're not living it. And that's where we find ourselves a lot of times. We talk a good talk, but can we walk the walk? And that's the walk of faith. Living the word. This word is alive. It is spirit and it is truth. It's alive. So this is all he was telling. He was making an appeal to them that the righteousness, which is of faith, is what you need to be seeking for. And you can only have that with a relationship. You have to have a relationship with the Lord. Today, get a relationship. Get in this word. Start studying the word. Meditating on the word. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So he will bring all this stuff to your remembrance. He will bring all the word and he will give you understanding so you can rightly divide it, so it can get down in your heart and germinate and bear much fruit. So don't be walking around with religion. Get a relationship. Get a relationship. Until next time, we love you. We're praying for you. God bless you and keep you. Keep the faith. Amen. We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust them at all
times. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed are you, Adonai. This is Cynthia West with For Such a Time as This. Let us pray from a pure heart. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that all willful workers of wickedness be removed from positions of power, prominence, and prestige. Open the eyes of those being deceived and place